Well, that was Long Journey Home, an excellent documentary about the Irish and their migration and emigration. In Dublin, Ireland, Rita Ehrlich finds the man who has successfully headed Melbourne's Immigration Museum, Patrick Green, in a new but similar role at the Irish Emigration Museum.
EPIC is the Museum of Immigration in Dublin. It's only 3 years old. It won earlier this year the best visitor attraction in Europe. And it's an amazing museum on all sorts of levels. It manages to be a history of Ireland. It manages to be a history of the way people come and go. It's extraordinary in the building it's in, which is a huge, huge old warehouse that was repurposed and is itself a great example of urban renewal. The director of the museum is now Patrick Green, who comes from the Museum of Immigration in Melbourne. So he's done his own coming and going as well. Patrick, when did you arrive here?
I arrived here 3 weeks ago to take up the role. I spent a week with my wife and our son, who's 9 years old, orientating ourselves. But in the past 2 weeks, I've been getting to grips with the job itself and working with the fantastic, talented crew we have.
What attracted you about it?
Well, first of all, I've known the museum almost since it opened. My first visit was about 5 months after it opened. And on each subsequent visit from Melbourne to Europe, I've come to EPIC, and I have provided some advice. I've run workshops and things like that. So it was after one of these, about 6 months ago, that Mervyn Green, who was then the director of the museum, said, "Look, Patrick, I've got some other projects to do in this amazing building that you referred to. Could you take over as museum director?" And I went back to Melbourne, sat down with my wife, we talked about it and said, "Yes, we'd like to go to Ireland. We have roots in Ireland, well, I do especially, and it would be a sort of homecoming." So I love the museum and I love the people who are working in it, so it was quite an easy question to answer.
Lucky you to be offered the opportunity. What is amazing about this museum, or one of the things, is that there are no objects here at all. It's all audiovisual.
Yes, that's right. And we have some sculpture as well. We have stage settings and so on. But you're quite right. There are one or two objects, but they are not the significant part of the exhibition. And I've come from Museums Victoria, which has 17 million items in its collection. So it's a complete contrast. So people say, "Well, is it a museum?" And I would say emphatically, yes, it is a museum. But it's a museum of intangible heritage. Tangible heritage, buildings, objects. Intangible is stories. And Ireland, of course, is an island of stories. And the museum is a museum of stories. And it is through those stories that we provide insights into people, for people, into the emigrant experience.
It's a succession of very powerful experiences, because there's famine, there's war, there's oppression, there's discrimination, mm-hmm. there's a sense of huge sorrow, and yet there's also this enormous sense of resourcefulness.
Correct. And the story which emerges from that is the way in which people from Ireland have left Ireland over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia, and have made their way in the global world, and the impact they've made and the contribution they've made. which is a very positive story. And you're right, there are plenty of tears along the way, but when you look at Ireland today, a progressive, democratic, socially progressive country, it's really an amazing story.
It certainly is. And in terms of that, the sense of heritage that people from Ireland keep, so that part of the stories are people like Henry Ford, whose father was Irish, John F. Kennedy, whose great-grandfather was Irish. And the sense in which people value their Irish heritage is a really important one too.
And you find some very unexpected people who have Irish heritage. So there's General de Gaulle of France. Who would have guessed he had an Irish grandmother? And there are lots of stories like that. It's amazing if you scratch the surface of a person's family tree, somewhere or other, you often find an Irish person.
Indeed you do. And the 14,000 Catholic soldiers who went to France at the beginning of the 17th century turned out to be terribly important to the French wine industry.
Indeed. And last night we were drinking some whiskey and some gin, which embodies that heritage as well. Yes, the Irish have done lots and lots of interesting things. The other day there was a ship from Mexico in the port, a tall ship, and I went on that. And again, you discover the Irish links and the way in which Irishmen signed up to fight in the Mexican forces. And further south, in Argentina, there was Admiral Brown, Irishman, who set up the Navy of Argentina.
Why do you think the Irish went everywhere? Not all of it was because of forced immigration.
No, it wasn't. I think there was forced immigration, of course, but a sense of adventure. One of the people who features in my family was, which comes from County Clare, west of Ireland, was a man in the Green family who joined up the army in India and went on the Young Husband expedition. The Young Husband expedition was an expedition into the Himalayas to map the Himalayas. And apparently these soldiers disguised themselves as Buddhist monks and pushed prayer wheels, in fact the prayer wheels were the measuring devices, while they were mapping the, if that isn't an adventure, I don't know what is.
Oh, absolutely. I wonder if it's to do with being an island, and quite a small island, that you face outwards, not inwards.
Well, it could be, and it's also true that people have come to Ireland for a long time, for many, many years. You know, the archaeological record shows that, and I'm an archaeologist, so I have a passionate interest in those aspects of Ireland. But it's a to and froing. The Irish monks went to Germany in the, I think it was the 7th century, to convert the Germans to Christianity. There are story after story like this, which make you want to dig deeper into it.
It's an amazing experience. It's a wonderful experience. There are points at which everyone is in tears.
Yes.
Through this. There are points at which you just marvel at the fun people have.
Yes, and there's the sequence from Riverdance, which is part of the music story. Of course, the Irish have taken their music to the whole world, and I think the whole world has embraced Irish music. So that features strongly in the exhibition. And Riverdance, which came on the scene in the middle of a Eurovision Song Contest and absolutely knocked people out by its wonderful coordinated dancing, reinterpreted for the 20th century, I went to see Riverdance actually last weekend as a birthday present from my wife, and it is absolutely terrific. And so, and we've got one area where we've got album covers which show masses of bands that a lot of whom people wouldn't recognise as Irish until they're told us that they're Irish.
The stories include music, of course, and dance, food and drink.
Yes.
Engineering, exploration.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, the way in which the Irish have responded to other people's difficulties and challenges. You know, where there have been famines, the Irish have been often first on the scene to, with this terrible deep memory, folk memory as much as historical memory of the famine and what it did to Ireland. There's been a predisposition to help other people with the famine, and we have a temporary exhibition at the moment of the way in which Irish people, often through religious orders, have gone into the world and provided an education for people.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very important part of the heritage.
It is. It is indeed. That's right.
Patrick Green, thank you very much indeed for talking to us about the Museum of Immigration in Dublin. It's known as EPIC. What does EPIC stand for?
Every person is connected. And since I've been in Dublin, I've discovered that is extremely true. Many places have 6 degrees of separation. People have said to me again and again, Dublin, Ireland, has 2 degrees of separation, and it's true. It isn't very long before you have a conversation with somebody and you find a point of similarity. And it makes it one of the friendly, welcoming countries, which you know, in a world with many challenges, Ireland has overcome a lot of challenges, and I think people love that and love exploring it.
I think that's true. Thank you again, Patrick Green.
My pleasure.
That's Travel Writers Radio for this week. Just a reminder, you can hear us live on J Air 87.8 FM in Melbourne every Wednesday, drive time from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're also live on the internet at www.j-air.com.au, and our stories can also be found 24/7 at www.soundcloud.com/Travel Writers Radio.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.